Welcome to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm Joe Cook. I got Justin Wells with me. I got Coach Dub with me. It's not a Wednesday night live. It is a Thursday night live. We're glad you're here with us. Thank you for watching. Thank you to Cotton Hook'em as well. Make sure you head to InsideTexas.com. If you use the promo code IT1, you can get 2 months for $1. Great deal. The transfer portal opens up on Monday. That's going to be a great, just a ton of news is going to come from that.
It's going to be a busy day. It's going to be a party, Joe.
It's going to be a very busy day. We're going to have the latest as spring notes as well. And of course, recruiting never, ever stops. Working man, the pleasure is ours. Don't you worry about that. Chris Bennett, thanks for joining us. And guys, I think let's start off with a little bit of recruiting. I think that over the course of the past couple of days, Justin, we've had some of the Longhorns' top targets in town. Of course, Saturday was a huge recruiting event. But on Tuesday and even today, the Longhorns welcomed a couple of their top targets.
Yes, yes. Marcus Harris, the four-star wide receiver out of Modern Day High School, connected with him yesterday when we were leaving Dallas, and he told me he was en route to Austin. He wanted to watch practice. He wanted to hang out with Coach Sark and Coach Jackson, and I think as we're filming this, he's still on campus, or he's still hanging out with some of the staff. There were a couple others as well. Big-time linebacker out of Georgia, Tyler Atkinson. I mean, that dude's a potential five-star. It was big to get him on campus as well. Weston Nielsen, the quarterback out of Bastrop, he made it on campus as well. And so, yeah, I mean, Texas is there. You know, I think they caught something smart last Saturday, bringing those recruits in. And Sark's always brought in recruits for practices and stuff. But when they do that, I mean, it really does catch their attention. I don't know if, Joe, if you remember, right after we talked to Darren Gillette at the state track meet his junior year, I think it was his junior year, he had said how he was going to go back home, and that was his travel plans. But then he turned around like a day later after the relays and came back for a practice. And that single moment, I think, is what got Gillette to Texas, because he saw so much. And here's another thing. They're not trying to make 25 kids happy at one time. They're making two or three happy at one time. So there's so much more one-on-one and interaction, and you can really get to know those guys a lot better. And so Sark and those guys they've been doing really well on the recruiting trail in this class. Bringing guys in for practice is smart, especially when you can get a four-star priority wide receiver to get on a plane just to come watch you practice from California. I think that's big. And hey, keep them coming, because it's going to be a big list at the spring game. You got to come to InsideTexas.com for the latest list there. Please check us out. But yeah, this is recruiting 101. Sark knows what he's doing. Bring guys on board. Marcus Harris was big. Tyler Atkinson may have been as big. I think maybe some of these recruits are getting a fear of missing out, because if you listen and read and see all the stuff that these players talk about post visits to Texas in the last few months, it's glowing. And I think other recruits are paying attention.
You know, we've talked a little bit about the various events that Texas puts on. And you think about a junior day, where at a junior day, there could be like 70 kids who show up. It's invite only, but it's like, hey, you know, anybody can.
And then they invite someone on their own only.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, I brought my teammate who is going to go in pro and something other than sports. And, you know,
I brought my camera crew.
Yeah. It's junior days. Just kind of cycle everybody through. We talk about official visits, where you are getting wined and dined, and but you're at the Four Seasons. You're, you know, going out and seeing what life is like as a UT football player. They're showing you the best of what the program has to offer. But events like Saturday, events like, you know, just a spring practice, that is the truest, I guess, illustration, the most accurate representation of what that daily life as a football player is going to be like. Like, it is just, you see how the coaches coach in the meeting room, on the practice field, what they expect from you to know, to do. And you can't even do that during training camp. You know, like that's not because you're getting ready for your own season at that. So events like, Friday or just spring practice. And of course, the event on Saturday, Longhorn City Limits, that's designed to show basically what that daily life is like. And of course, it seems like all the reviews that we've gotten from recruits and so on have been extremely positive. And coach, it's kind of one of those things where you use this to build momentum, especially now as we are trying to track down official visit dates and official visits of some of the guys that were there on Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like continuation of the season you just had. Like you won. Everybody's paying attention to you, right? And now let's keep that buzz going. Let's keep that continuation of just the hype of Texas football going. And so having those guys in, showing them the city of Austin, which you can't beat, I'm sorry, or any day, right? But your football team's doing well. You're practicing. They see you guys competing. It's the whole nine. Like, it's a great time to sell your program, right? And you don't really have to do much talking, if you ask me, right? If you're at practice, you get to see it for yourself if you're a recruit. So come and enjoy the practice. Come see how we get down, pretty much. And then let's go enjoy Austin later on that night. So, yeah. It's a win-win.
It's always good. Speaking of, you talked a little bit about Marcus Harris, Justin. On the record, thank you, Brett Nelson.
Brad.
What wide receivers does Texas sign? Let's go with that one first. We'll get to part two because we do need to touch on the Samaje Burrell news. But wide receivers, who do you think ends up in this Texas class at that position?
Yeah, that's been a big question, very popular on InsideTexas.com in the members forum. You really do got to check that out because I feel like I answer that question a couple times a day. And the truth is it may change a couple times a day. What we can tell you, though, is that the numbers are going to be between 3 and 4. I think they definitely want to get and will take 3. I think if it's the right 4, they'll take 4. So let's get that as our base. Who's going to fill in those spots? DeCorey Moore's got an open scholarship until signing day. Jamie French has an open scholarship until signing day. So that's 2 right there. I think they look good for Moore. I think they've got some more work to do with French. So that really remains who's the next 1 or 2 out of that bunch of almost a dozen, it feels like, that we've been tracking. What order are they in? I don't think they're in an order. I think it's DeCorey in 1A, Jamie French 1B, and then everyone else is kind of in that next grouping. Andrew Marsh is phenomenal. I like his chances with Texas, but I also know that he could go out of state. Marcus Harris, I felt like is inevitable. That's why I believe I put in an RPM pick for him almost a year ago.
And I followed up with it too, I think.
You did. You scooped me and I loved it. The truth is, he's connecting Marcus with Chris Jackson a lot. Those two guys have a lot in common, including playing wide receiver at Mater Dei. And so Marcus Harris, I feel like, is going to be in this class. That leaves, let's just say one more hypothetically, between Kalik Lockett, Andrew Marsh, Kelshawn Johnson, Daylon McCutcheon. I mean, there's others. I'm sure I'm missing them, and I don't mean to. But I think you have to start the conversation with Kalik Lockett. I think he has really built up just a really good relationship, and he's got a lot of good momentum with this staff. I didn't realize he'd been coming to campus for 3 years. And when I talked to him and his dad on Saturday evening, you could tell how great it was. And so, as of right now, as we're speaking, Marcus Harris is still in the Texas football facility. I just got a message. And so he's actually still on campus doing his thing. Again, I think Marcus Harris is going to be in this class. But that's the biggest question, Brett. You just got to go to InsideTexas.com every day. Just find me on the members board. I'm always there with Charlie, Joe, our whole crew. Just ask me, re-ask me. And then after I answer it a couple times, come back around dinner and ask me again. It could change. But I'll predict Corey and Moore, Kalik Lockett, Marcus Harris, and Andrew Marsh in this class.
The reason I'm scrolling on my phone right now is I'm trying to find a picture. I have a picture of Kalik Lockett somewhere, and I was just kind of like,
We both took one that day. He was a couple years old. After his junior day, it was on the other side of the stadium. He was about 5'11", real skinny.
Yeah.
He didn't have the hair. And I even told his dad, I talked to his dad. It's like, you know, I've been interviewing this kid for almost about two years. And you can tell, you can see the progression. Coach, I know you know this kid too. You can see the growth in this kid. Kalik he's got charisma. He's got a style about himself, and he doesn't get caught up in himself either, which I think, you know, we see a lot of wide receivers in high school recruiting that get a little wild. Kalik seems to be as level as you can get, and I think that's why he's been so steady through his ascension. Coach, do you agree?
Hey, most definitely. Sorry, look, my thing's on mute here. You got to apologize. You got to forgive me for 1 second, but yeah, I like the Lockett kid. You know what? I like his confidence too, though. Right, to tell me he's going to be the next best receiver coming out of Sachse, knowing you got Devin DuVernay there that came through there, right? And to speak exactly with that much confidence, I love that. Like, yeah, I'm about to make my name known and put myself on the map too. So, hey. Yeah.
We'll go over Brett's other question. Does Texas sign another linebacker now because of Burrell? So, if anybody saw Samaje Burrell, as it's been reported, he was the other vehicle involved in the incident that resulted in Tavondre Sweat's DWI. We reported he got kicked off the team. Steve Sarkisian put out a statement saying he's been indefinitely suspended. He announced today he's going to enter the transfer portal. Quality player. I think everybody hopes that it works out for him and on and off the field. But to address the question, does Texas sign another linebacker right now? I don't think that changes the math. At a certain point, they needed to find some people to enter the portal. It's a delicate process, of course, but they're at 89 scholarships before he entered or will enter. Now they're at 88. They got to get to 85. I think with adding, you know, you have Kendrick Blackshire there as a one-year rental. You got one more year. They got
plenty of room and depth there. They really do.
Yeah, and I think after only taking, you know, they had the big class and 2023, they took one and Ty Anthony Smith. You know, they have, I'm trying to think a few of the top targets at linebacker. Of course, Riley Pettijohn and
Barnes and Pettijohn is where it starts and ends, man.
And they may not, I mean, I think they're going to obviously continue to look at Marco Jones, right? Is that his name?
The kid out of Alabama, out of California.
Yeah, Marco Jones, Matai Tagawai. But I mean, I feel like
another the name line might pop up.
I feel like the number's gonna probably be three in this class for true off ball linebacker. Does that sound right?
I think that's they're gonna go three. And the reason I say that's a guy we haven't heard of yet, because I think Nansen's just now getting his feet wet, you know. People, you know, Baker took a little while to get the transition. I think Nansen's doing the exact same. I think Barnes and Riley Pettijohn are just there for him. And all he has to do is say the right things and smile, and they're going to Texas. I think he has to work for that third. They're going to look for some guys when they get out on the field in that spring after spring ball. He's hitting the West Coast. Don't tell me he's not going to find a linebacker in 2025 he doesn't fall in love with that might be a fringe three-star, four-star type, offers him, winds up having tremendous tape. Before you know it, guy takes an official, he commits in October. Rinse, repeat. So I think that's 2025 linebacker recruiting for me. Also, Marco Jones, maybe I might be wrong. I think he could also be an edge. I can't remember. I've got to watch him again. But I think he's also maybe a tweener in some instances. And so, yeah. That's a linebacker. No, they're not going to sign another one from Burrell. They've already recruited over him. That's what Ty Anthony Smith's there for. He was getting more reps anyway.
So this question from a working man or statement, I wouldn't turn down Tyler, though. I think you're referring to Tyler Atkinson. He's in the 2026 Never. Class.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really have an effect on this one. He's in the next class, but a quality prospect who is on campus there in Austin today from a powerhouse program in Grayson. Interesting comment from Cotton. Coach, you may know a little bit about this one. Sachse didn't even have a high school team when he was there, and I wonder how long ago that is. I'm about to look it up. So just, I guess, talk about not only that part of DFW, but, you know, that part of DFW just starting to produce high school players. Because, I mean, Naaman Forrest has obviously put out some, I think, Longhorns, too. Wiley has. There's a Wiley East now. It's a multi.
Our boy Alex De La Torre coaches at Wiley East. They made a little playoff run last year. Shout out, man.
So, I mean, that's an area of Dallas that has obviously grown a lot, and now it's starting to produce some quality football players.
Yeah, definitely, man. You got so many people moving to the state of Texas. Like, they got to go somewhere, and there's so much talent just moving out of the Dallas, Dallas area. They're moving to, like, the suburbs, and so they're starting to gain more talent, hence why you need two high schools in Wiley, right? I remember when they were 3A. Now, you know, both schools are big. So, that's crazy. You look at Garland, Lakeview, or – and Neyman Forest, like, they've grown even bigger. So Saxton continue to grow. That was 5A, 6A.
Got a special guest on the show.
Trying to talk about high school and kids. And somebody told me they got doggy. This is, I got you, baby. I'm so sorry.
I
think Saxy has gotten so big, they've removed the garland from in front of the school name whenever you write out. That's how big Saxy's gotten.
It's
because I used to write garland and people would gripe at me about it. They're like, we're not garland anymore, we're this, we're that. Man, I'm just going off what the others had said. I think they've gotten big.
I'm checking out the Wikipedia page. First graduating class was in 2005. It's in Garland ISD, so maybe that's the confusing part. But they're 6A. They got 2,900 kids there. So it is that's just proof of all the expansion. When you got 6A high schools in your area, that tells you a heck of a whole lot. Justin got some good stuff from our old buddy David Williams. It'd be absolutely great. Texas had a 2025 wide receiver class of DeCorian Moore, Khalik Lockett, Jamie French, and either Andrew Marsh or Marcus Harris. Having that much talent in one class will lead to Sark having to rotate more wide receivers. There are six wide receivers that are good enough to play significantly. I mean, if you have DeCorian, Lockett, French, and let's go Marcus Harris, that's a dream class right there.
That's a 99 class or 2000. Coach, which one, 99 or 2000?
With Roy and BJ.
Roy, BJ, I think it was 99.
Yeah.
Because Sims was the year before. That's what it would rival, a Roy Williams, BJ Johnson, and Sloan Thomas. Yeah. And does anybody remember what order those guys were ranked?
Sloan was the higher ranked one, right?
BJ was number one.
Yeah, BJ was one.
Roy was number two. And Sloan was considered like the complimentary guy, and he was still like the number four or five receiver in the state. And so that would rival that. Let me tell you something. If they get DeCorian Moore, I think they're going to be ecstatic no matter who else gets it. If they get DeCorian Moore and Jamie French, they're going to throw a flipping party for how ecstatic they're going to be with this wide receiver class. If they add any of those two to that, that's the number one position in the country. And I think that gets Chris Jackson some more notoriety. I think it gets more Sark guys coming on board. And remember, we talk about this all the time, and we're going to see it in 2.5 weeks when Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell are drafted in the first round in this draft, in this NFL draft. That is going to hit. We see it every year after, you know, a few days, few weeks, few months after that NFL draft, the boom these schools get at certain positions. I think they get French, they get more. Oh my gosh. that they get rowdy at that point.
Yeah, it's gonna be incredible if they can pull that off. I do want to kind of talk about David Williams' other question or comment that could lead into a question. There are six current wide receivers good enough to play significantly. I mean, I'll go ahead and wager who those are: Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, Jonte Cook, DeAndre Moore, Ryan Wingo, and who else do you want to include? Maybe put Silas Bolden in there.
You probably include Bolden, unless he's
six. But as we saw last year, and even as we saw in 2021, Steve Sarkisian just like doesn't rotate at wide receiver. He makes, you know, he keeps it like to an NFL rotation. I wrote about this on Inside Texas. He likes having his top guys on the field more than at any other position. It's why Jonte Cook only got about like 100 or 90 snaps last year total on offense. I think we're going to, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with like, are you good enough to play? We have, I think, like coaches or like David's talking about five or six. But coach, how do you kind of navigate that in recruiting when, you know, you can look at like, yes, he put Ruggs, Judy, Smith, Waddle, all those guys succeeded. And Justin, maybe this one's for you. You had Ruggs, Waddle, Smith, all those guys. They were able to all succeed and go to the NFL, but they didn't rotate. You get to Texas. Yeah. You know, yeah. You have just a handful of guys, Smith or Worthy, Mitchell, Whittington, have those rotations. So how do you navigate that in recruiting, considering, you know, the snap count is very evident publicly?
You do that with Ryan talking about Ryan Wingo in the two of your main press conferences in your first 10 practices in the spring. You do that when these recruits come on campus and they see early enrollee freshmen making an impact. Colin Simmons getting two sacks on Saturday, one of them of Arch Manning. That's another way to get their attention. There's a number of things you can do to combat that. Sark, if anything, has a lot of Pete Carroll in him. He just was addicted to competition at every position. He would over-recruit in certain spots just because he knew, okay, if I throw enough out there, the two or three or the really good ones are going to rise up. And if that happens to be a freshman, he's going to play that guy. If they need to ask anybody, ask Anthony Hill, who played as a true freshman, who started by Midway or I think by OU, he was starting. That's an example. Manny Muhammad starting as a true freshman on that defense. Well, look at the offensive line 2 years ago. They started three freshmen at one time on the offensive line. So Sark has – he can say, hey, I play the young guys. I play the best player available. And then he can prove it with what's on tape and then watching these players in practice, all of the above, guys. That's how you manage that.
I think for this situation, the best way to – I mean – it's not like a big problem. I'm sure other schools are using that when talking about playing time for receivers, a position where a lot of players want that early playing time. I think the best way that Texas might be able to overcome if this is a negative sell that they're getting is playing Ryan Wingo. And I think from everything we've heard, he's good enough to play. I mean, we mentioned him in this discussion. He's got Sark gave him a lot of great praise. A lot of recruits gave him praise. So that means like, even if Parker Livingstone doesn't play a bunch or, you know, Aaron Butler, or, you know, even if DeAndre Moore in his second year, who's drawn also a lot of great reviews. So maybe if someone like Ryan Niblett doesn't play a ton,
right?
Well, if you play Ryan Wingo, bam, there's your evidence. That's a good way to overcome the pitch and show, look, if you want to play, you can play, but you got to be good enough to do it at Texas, and that helps a lot. Does that seem like the smart way of navigating these, you know, recruiting battles, trying to, you know, yeah, have Ryan Wingo maybe make a little bit of an impact? Or how do you think Sark and Chris Jackson are trying to navigate it, Coach?
I mean, I think that's the best way. Like, you're going to have your one or two maybe young guys play. That shows, hey, if you're good enough, you can come in and play. I think the key thing is for those guys who may not play, like, make sure that you don't get passed up by the next recruiting class. So you need to show throughout the season that I am a guy you can trust. You don't have to bring somebody else in from the portal. You're not going to over-recruit me, because some guys will fear that, well, if I'm not a guy, am I going to get over-recruited the next year, especially with the portal? So let those one or two young guys play and just be honest about, hey, here's where my board is. We're always going to look for the best guy. This is Texas. We're always trying to replace you. But as long as you can show me you can play, you'll find a way on the field. We'll find you some way on the field. The special teams, whatever the case, we'll find a way for you to get on the field if you can play. And you won't just be put on that other field over there running scout team, you know, your time here at Texas. So be honest, but then let that one or two young guys play and navigate their way through the older guys.
Justin, I guess kind of thinking about rotation in general with the Longhorns, it doesn't happen on offense. It really doesn't. I mean, you have and that's Steve Sarkisian's side of the ball. Yeah. You've got, you know, the three or four wide receivers, the one to two tight ends, the five O linemen, the one quarterback, maybe two running backs and a guy specific in his role.
Or three that's, running backs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, two conventional and one.
We're going to see an NFL running back by committee this year, I think. But go ahead.
Right. But the other thing is like that they still provide opportunity for those for some of those players to play early. Cotton points it out. Derek Williams, again, that's defense. Kelvin Banks. But to go to defense, you know, Colin Simmons is going to play this year. Anthony Hill played last year. Derek Williams, Manny Muhammad, like Terrence Brooks played as a freshman. Like the rotation and opportunity is a little bit more evident, I feel like, on the defensive side of the ball. Just because, A, they've added guys like Derek Williams, who they needed safety help pretty quick. But, you know, B, they just rotate more because that's the nature of defense as well.
It is, but also look at it like, you know, with defense, you're attacking. And I know in offense you have that attack mentality, but on defense you're literally trying to attack.
But you're reacting.
You're reacting. And so you want fresh. You've got to be fresh. On an offensive side, you don't want to rotate your offensive line if you don't have to. If those five can play together all every snap, that is the most ideal, or at least through third quarter when you're blowing out somebody and then the backups come in. On the defensive side, you want those rotations. Like, I feel like some of Texas' success, and give PK credit, have been because of the least amount of reps those defensive linemen took over the last couple of seasons. Tavondre Sweat was constantly fresh because he only took 25, 30 snaps a game. Byron Murphy was at 25, 30 snaps a game on most days. I think that allowed them to be better. Those big boys got to take a breather. Like that, you can get away with that. You don't want too much of a rotation in the secondary. You want those guys kind of working on a string, all five of those guys. But from a linebacker and a D lineman standpoint, I think you can do that, especially if the talent is as good and can match up for a few drives. And look at what they did with the edge. They recruited literally the best edge in the country in Colin Simmons, and then they got the best edge in the portal, or one of the best, in Trey Moore. And so they knew exactly what they wanted to do and what position they wanted to attack. And that to me shows, and both of those guys are going to play. Obviously, I think Moore is going to play a lot more, but it doesn't – no pun intended – but it doesn't matter. I think the fact that there is a rotation there, don't expect one on offense. Listen, if things are going really well on the offense, they aren't rotating. Everyone's playing. Everyone's in sync. Everyone's doing exactly what they're supposed to do in this offense. And so, I think we'll see a little bit of a rotation at running back this year. I think it's going to be Baxter and Blue, but Wisner is making a case to get carries. And Tashard Choice rewards guys that are patient and that get carries. He did the same thing for Rashawn Johnson with Bijan. He did the same thing for Jonathan Brooks last year, and he'll do the same thing with Blue and Baxter this year. Choice, I know they keep recruiting at a high level at that spot. It may cost them in the portal down the road, but for right now, that's the only spot on the offense, Joe, that I can see a steady rotation.
The thing I'm kind of thinking about when it comes to running back, and maybe this can be another topic, we know that I hate using this because it's so cliche, but they're going to try to do the whole thunder and lightning thing at running back. They're going to have Baxter be the thunder. They're going to have Blue be the lightning. But I'm curious, how do y'all think Trey Wisner would probably fit in as the Keelan Robinson? Like, maybe not a guy who's taken between the tackle opportunities, but someone who has drawn a significant amount of praise throughout the course of the spring, played a little bit of played wide receiver or caught the ball a lot at DeSoto because of Tiger Ryden making an impact there. Someone who's got that versatility like Keelan did and has that burst, want to, and high football character. Do you see Trey Wisner maybe ended up being the Wisner, the hailstorm? I like that one. That's a good one. But Trey Wisner ended up being in a role kind of like Keelan Robinson was last year.
I can see that. I think he is the like special weapon that you, and he's going to earn his playing time, right? Because he's going to play on special teams. He's going to earn carries. He's going to earn catches. But you can use him in a Keelan Robinson type role. I think you can put, you might see them all three on the field at the exact same time. Who knows, right? Because you never know what kind of packages they're going to install, and he can catch like a slot receiver. So you just never know. But I think he's going to see the field, special situations. So we'll see.
He'll be one of the three or four best special teamers in the program this year. He's going to be, and Coach Banks puts emphasis on that. Who's going to be my guys for every year? And that's why I think special teams have been so strong on that side of the ball. So I think that's where he'll continue to thrive. And what Coach said, the kid practices hard. He plays hard. He doesn't take plays off. That he will be rewarded. It's going to be, and what's going to happen is it's going to be either, you know, God forbid, an injury, or it's going to be a you know, one of the earlier tailbacks, you know, missing a hole or missing an assignment or not picking up a blitz on third down. It's going to be little things like that. If he stays the course, I still think it's going to be Baxter and Blue. I think you're going to get 600-700 yards from both those guys this year. But Wisner has earned the right to get some carries. And if he can be the hailstorm, let it rain.
I like it. I think should be a good problem for them to have. But here's the other thing. You hear a lot of positive reviews from players, at least so far, about Christian Clark and Jarek Gibson, who Eric Nalin called, what is it, Jarek Bigson, because he does look that jacked right now. So that running back room it's one of the best in the country, and it's through Tashard Toyce's efforts. We'll see what they decide to do when it comes to Trey Wisner, but I think you're right. I think he's going to be a great special teams player. I think he could fit right into that role that Keelan Robinson occupied a little bit last year. Justin, Charlie, what are some of the other big, I guess, camp or spring drills storylines that we're tracking? We talked a little bit about Ryan Wingo and wide receiver rotation. Obviously talked about running back and Trey Wisner. We haven't talked a lot about Quinn Ewers. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, obviously, you know, we hear a lot of positive stuff that he's making the plays, making the throws. Don't hear a ton about turnovers. Obviously, we heard he was sacked a couple times in the spring scrimmage, and that was from Colin Simmons. But I feel like no news coach is good news when you think about your quarterback that's not in a battle. And also, when you have a Manning back there, that no news is good news. And that, you know, you don't hear about turnovers or interceptions or bad decisions or anything like that, especially heading into this season for the Longhorns.
Yeah, and going into year three, like, you shouldn't expect to hear much. I mean, his game is going to steady improve. When you hear about the scrimmage this past weekend, we're scoring in the red zone. He's throwing touchdowns, right? So that's a positive, right, from last year. But, yeah, no news is good news when you talk about your quarterback, because we'll see everything this fall to see how he's improved. And I think he's gonna take an even bigger step than he has. But Quinn was on the rise last year. You know, everybody saw his talent and what he could do. So this spring, you just want to see that he has a hold on the playbook and command of the huddle and command of the team as being a leader. And I think you won't hear much about it because he's just working hard. He's getting the job done, which is what you want.
Yeah, and as Chris Bennett's noting in the chat, got a nice little NIL deal today with a private plane. Company, I'm not sure what it, but yeah, jet setting
him and Jackson Dart. They're gonna catch a flight together.
Hey, they're airing it out, but you know, yeah,
Joe,
that was a good one. Come on,
that was Joe was bringing it, man.
But I think I like what you mentioned that he's taking kind of initiative in the program, taking control of the program. We've mentioned this a lot. Quinn's a quiet kid. Yeah, he's got NIL deals. Yeah, he's got, you know, he used to have the mullet, has a recognizable look, but he's quiet by nature. And over the course of this spring, we've heard reviews that he's changing a little bit and that he's being the leader and being the guy to, you know, call people out. And it's not like there's a lot of calling out at this point because Steve Sarkisian mentioned the other day that the culture is, you know, they don't have a ton to work on. They have to maintain it, but they're not like, you know, oh, this is bad, we got to fix this. Quinn's at the tip of that. He's the one that is helping in that process. And again, you know, I think the thing you brought up, Coach, is that they were scoring in the red zone, and they were scoring in the red zone thanks to Quinn. And it's like, wait, hold on. They can do this. They can operate and find angles and passing windows, even despite the constricted field. That is a huge bonus for this team if Quinn's going to be able to do some stuff in the red zone that, you know, keeps the passing game alive and also can threaten defenses in multiple ways, because we know that when it came time to, you know, get those extra few inches, there were some times when the Longhorns couldn't get that push from their interior offensive line. What are some other big spring storylines that y'all have kind of tracked? I know on defense we're trying to figure out who's replacing Tavondre and Byron Murphy, but Coach, it sounds like it sounds like Aaron Bryant has been able to do some really good things over the course of these past couple weeks.
Yeah, I was definitely about to bring his name up just to hear that, hear Jake Majors bring his name up, right? That was huge because he faces that guy every single day. So you're looking for somebody who can take that spot, and those are big shoes to fill, right? But if you can find a guy who can give you 30, 35 snaps a game, consistent good snaps, maybe you find another guy that can give you the same. You can just kind of rotate and take two or three guys to fill one guy's spot or two guys' spot. I think maybe, you know, so far maybe they have to do that. Who knows? But we'll see as a, you know, as spring goes on, as they go into fall camp.
That's going to be an interesting one just because we know we know what Alfred Collins can do. We know what Vernon Broughton can do. They can step their game up, of course, but they're great. They're really strong power conference Texas players. They're not Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat. It's going to be tough. But in order
for them to be a different identity, Joe, don't you think that's something I'm thinking about from spring? Like, what's this identity on their defense going to look like going into the fall camp?
Well, I think a lot of that may be affected by Johnny Nanson. If anything that Ian Boyd has written is, which it always seems to come to life, does come to life. Yeah. But that's a good one because that defense last year, they didn't have to do anything that fancy. You know, they could just be like, you know, we're going to play our regular, I don't want to say base every time, but they could kind of just play base and let the two guys in the middle wreck the play, and then somebody else would be there to clean it up after they wrecked it. I think they're going to have to get more creative. I think that's one thing that Pete Kwiatkowski is going to have to do, not just in fronts, but also in coverages as well. It should be interesting to track. But Aaron Bryant, I think he's about, 6'2", just around 300 pounds. You look at him, he's got a very workman-like number, and number, 53, it kind of makes him look even stockier. That's going to be a big test for Kenny Baker. Not just the players, not just Aaron Bryant, but also Kenny Baker as well. And I think it'll help the edges. I think it'll feature them more just because you have guys like Trey Moore, Baron Sorrell, Ethan Burke, Colin Simmons. Like, that is a strong two deep that we're talking about, not even to mention guys like Jamon Tapp and who else? Colton Vosick, who's gotten some good reviews over the
course of the year.
So the edge is, I think what you're going to see out of the defense is, like you're talking about, Justin, that change in philosophy, change in styles. It may feature edges and linebackers a little bit more and try to put them in, you know, one-on-one situations. Whereas last year, they were just kind of content to let them clean up because Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat were taking up so much stuff. Got a good question over here from Steve Meadows. Coach, I think you may be able to touch on this one, and I'm not sure if it happened, but I'll let you get the info out. Bo Barnes takes a playbook home. How many recruits get to do that? What do you know about that one from the big weekend?
Oh, man. Look, I answered the second part of that question, right? How many recruits get to do that? It really depends. It really depends on the recruit, honestly. It's a guy you see that, you know, you got a good, pretty good chance of landing. Like, you want to go ahead and get him acclimated, right? Because, hey, come learn the playbook. And it could be just all the quiz. Like, let me see how much this guy knows, right? I send him home with something. He comes back. He's able to answer questions.
Yes.
The quiz. And yes. So I can kind of see his football knowledge and see, like, okay, this kid would get it, right? If he came to my defense and played for me, he would actually understand and get it. So it really just depends. I've seen it for transfer.
I think we did that with Johnson Rubel last year too.
Yeah, so that's huge. I think that's more than if he has a playbook or anything like that. It's more just trying to test his football knowledge.
And I don't think they're giving him the whole thing. Yeah. They're probably giving him some parts of it. I don't think they give him the whole thing until they sign. And that's part of like the package they get when it's like, all right, welcome to the program. Justin, I'll send this one your way from Brent Kennard. What are you hearing about today's practice? Know you've maybe gotten a couple notes, but we're going to have some more comprehensive stuff definitely on Inside Texas, either later tonight or tomorrow in the humidor. Again, $1 gets you 2 months, but any quick tidbits from practice that you picked up today?
Only a few. Apparently the quarterbacks had a good day. Apparently, you know, we had reported Saturday that they, you know, they played well. They played really well and consistently at that. But I think a few DBs got them a few times on Saturday. From what I can hear, understand that they did pretty well. And so I think that's significant just because the heart and the soul are going to be those quarterbacks a lot of times. And when you have two guys with the personalities that they have and the persona, the fact that they're doing well and they're doing it in front of recruits, that's a big deal. You know, I'm texting with a recruit right now who was there, who was watching practice, who's telling me these quarterbacks lit it up. And, you know, this is a guy that would probably like to catch footballs from these quarterbacks at some point in their life, especially one of them. But yeah, you got to come to Inside Texas for the rest of it. Eric and I'll have a different practice report in the morning before we do our morning show. Yeah, it was good. The only thing I didn't hear about any injuries. And for me, that is the biggest takeaway I have of every time getting a practice report or a scrimmage report. And so far, so good. So we'll see how that holds up. Thank you for the question, though. And please come see us at Inside Texas. We will definitely fill you in.
I like this one. A little bit, you know, off the wall, some stat stuff from Jareth Mulholland. Who's the next 1,000-yard rusher? Cedric Baxter, Jaden Blue, or both? Man, I think if there's a 1,000-yard back on this team, I don't know. This one's a tough one.
It's probably Blue. It's because he's going to get longer runs.
Yeah, explosive plays. Yeah,
right. Whereas Baxter may have more volume carries in certain packages, certain downs, red zone, stuff like that. Jaden Blue is going to house some of them. Like, you thought Jonathan Brooks went big last year? Jaden Blue's got another gear. So I think if one of those is going to, my guess would be Jaden Blue.
So one of the things that I'm looking at is, and I know this was from the year that he had his personal problems, but the 2015 USC Trojans, Sark was the coach for 5 games before he was let go. Listen to this, and I think you might see something kind of like this in Austin. I don't know to the same extent, but, you know, who knows? The 2015 USC Trojans, Justin Davis had 169 carries for 902 yards. Ronald Jones, a.k.a. Roland Jones, if you remember that one, 153 carries for 987 yards. So they had
Do you know what I remember about Roland Jones? It's not what you think. It's not what you think. 2017, the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
One snap before halftime. Texas has all the momentum in the world. Freshman quarterback Sam Ellinger has put the horns on his shoulders, and they are marching and winning. And they give up a fluke, like 65-yard little screenplay that I think the play was designed just to get some yardage and get out of bounds to kick a field goal.
Yep.
But it looked terrible. Deshaun Elliott's flying one direction. I think Brandon Jones was flying the other. It wasn't good. So not the fact that Charlie and those guys butchered this poor kid's name during his recruitment. I now remember Sam Darnold, you know, running into the locker room because I was covering the game. You know, you were with us still, but I was still covering a lot of the road stuff. I remember being in that Coliseum and USC's crowd going nuts and just thinking the air has just been – that Texas had every bit of momentum. They had, like, stopped – they had a fourth down goal line stop. I think Deshaun Elliott had a pick six in the second quarter. Like, there was a lot of momentum there. And Roland Jones, man. Like, 60-something yards for a touchdown. Totally killed Texas.
Yeah, and that was 2015, so I think he was a freshman. But still, that 2015 – that was 2017, so it would have been his junior year. But 2015, Ronald Jones, 987 rushing yards. Justin Davis, 902 rushing yards. And a guy named Trey Madden pick up 452 rushing yards. So there are – I think you could probably see a very – I don't want to say that he's going to have two 900-yard guys, but I bet you see something like that to where the carries are split, I don't know, 55-45, something like that.
I think we're going to have two 700-yard rushers. I think I said it earlier. I think they'll go for – that tailback room is going to go for about 1,700 yards this year. I think they'll both get 700. I think you'll have a couple Bills out of Trey Wisner and then whatever, you know, Quinn or Arch do. You know, Quinn showed a little penchant for scrambling. You know, when he slimmed down, he got some of his athleticism back. Don't forget, this kid was fast in high school. And so, but I'm looking at about a 1,700-yard room. I think they split 700. The next 1,000-yard rusher might be Jarrett Gibson in 2025. It might be, you know, it could be Javion Osborne in 2028. You know, it's going to be crazy because Choice keeps recruiting at such a high level. These running backs, it's hard to make a 1,000-yard rusher when you keep stacking the room. Good problem to have, Joseph.
It's Arch Manning. Maybe he'll rush for 1,000 yards. Here's a good one. Who's the next 1,000-yard wide receiver?
Ooh. That one's easy. Isaiah Bond.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was – he probably could have done it with a better quarterback last year.
Yeah.
I think that's the right one. If not, I don't think they get one this year, but then Ryan Wingo does it next year. That's my prediction.
That's actually – I agree with that. I'll agree with that. I think next year Wingo and Jonte Cook jockey for that position. And Wingo –
Young monster. Let's see. Going through some other ones.
Look at this dude's game. I got to tell you, that's a pretty good YouTube name. Do you see the DeCorian Moore one?
Yeah. Wales. Yeah. Oh, man. That's a really good one.
That should be my burner. That should be my burner account. I got to get one of those.
A picture of you on it, and nobody would know if you have a picture of you on it, because everybody thinks you look like Leonard Washington. So I'm trying to find another good, we had another good question. Oh, I like this one from Hi, I'm Boo Corrigan. Does Billy Napier make the trip to Austin?
Great question.
I'm going to go ahead and say, no, I don't think he's going to make it there. And if he does make it to Austin, that may be his last game as a head coach of the Florida Gators.
He might stay.
About to go through his schedule, and it is brutal. Like this is they could just win 10 games. It'd be one of the most impressive seasons ever, but I don't think DJ Lagway or Graham Mertz is that
good. I agree with you, but if he goes to Lagway earlier in the year, I think he makes it to Austin. I think he'll make it past Austin if he goes with Lagway earlier. Paul Waddlington on our deep dive talked about how he thought Graham Mertz was actually this, it may have been Ian, and he was talking generational quarterback again. But he thinks Graham Mertz can reemerge down there. And I'm thinking, dude, he's going to have to play Lagway just to keep his job. Right. Because if Lagway can go out there and get some momentum and do well, you can get some positivity in the program in recruiting, and that can kind of spill over. I think Lagway is going to be the big decider for Napier. You're right, Joe. That schedule, that he needs 10 wins in it. There are not 10 wins on that schedule. Nope. There might not be six, man.
So here's the thing. They have 8 SEC games. Their 3 out-of-conference games are Miami, UCF, and Florida State. And here's how they play. They have a bye week on Saturday, October 26. Here's how their schedule ends. Neutral site game versus Georgia, at Texas, home versus LSU, home versus Ole Miss, at Florida State. That's going to be tough. I don't think he's coaching all those games. I think
not the later ones.
And I wonder if you know, it'd be kind of funny is if Ole Miss on Saturday, November 23rd, they you know, Lane Kiffin knocks off Napier and then takes his job a couple weeks later after the playoffs done.
Is that kind of the proverbial thought? That Kiffin's going to be the guy that Florida goes for when they let go of Napier?
I just think it's Kiffin's nature to always be chasing a better job. And Ole Miss has done a lot of good stuff.
A lot, Joe. They've done a lot.
Not just NIL, but just athletic department wide, across all sports, not just the major men's ones, not just the revenue sports, but they've improved. And I think Lane probably knows that there's a ceiling at Ole Miss, and there's a reason they haven't won a national title since like the 50s or maybe even the 60s. Whereas Florida's won, you know, even though it was under Urban and even though it was like 15, almost maybe even almost 20 years ago, you can win a national title at Florida. You can compete for SEC titles.
You can build a Texas-like program at Florida.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've seen it in my lifetime with multiple coaches. Gainesville is a sleeping giant at all times and in all sports.
I think so too.
I think Napier makes it to Austin, by the way.
You think he does?
I think he stays as an analyst.
I was just about to say he may be in Austin as an analyst, but yeah, he might. He's gonna make it to Austin.
Coach is thinking he's on. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that they were on.
I told him to say that
they may have been on the same staff with Saban. Because let's see, Alabama.
Oh
no, they just missed each other.
Yeah.
I think the only time they were on staff together was when Sark was there as the analyst right after he got fired, the year after he got fired. So
yeah,
they know each other and they played each other. Obviously they played each other, 2021, Louisiana. That was Sark's first game. Beating
and that was a good team. He had some NFL really good team players too on that team.
So I like, Samford, Mississippi State, UCF and Kentucky might be Florida's only wins unless they beat Miami to begin the season. Hey, that Miami versus Florida game is going to feature some very anxious fan bases heading into the season. When you got Mario kind of in a weird spot, they got Cam Ward. I don't know. Florida, when you think about the grind of the SEC, you know that they're going to have some talent on that team. They got good quarterbacks, but it just doesn't seem like it's working there. And I don't see it working in Austin.
I think they stick with him a little longer because he does have some NIL. And if you talk to kids in Texas, every few prospects has Miami in it. There's something still alluring about Miami, at least taking a visit, going down there. And trust me, they enjoy those visits down there. And so I think they stick with Cristobal a little bit longer because they spent some cash to get him out of Oregon, if I remember correctly.
They're not going to go away from Cristobal.
Right.
But they're going to be anxious about it.
It needs something positive. He needs to win this year. I think that's what you're saying, and I totally agree.
Yeah, and he needs someone to let him know how to
use. Cam Ward can do that.
They need to let someone to let him know how to use timeouts. So, guys, we've been going for about 52 minutes. Y'all got anything else y'all want to add or ready to get over the continued discussion on Inside Texas? I'll take. Hey, I think everybody.
Chris,
four
Chris Bennett made a great point. Let me give my boy Chris Bennett a shout out. All the love. He's that is true. That right there is true. Kelvin Banks was going to flip anyway, but that Cam Williams. That's the final reason. It was building up with Gilbert, but that's the final reason. My man Chris Bennett is on it at all times. Follow him on Twitter or me.
We'll get Justin Wales out there. Head to Inside Texas. Use the promo code IT1. Get you 2 months for $1. No better time to join. Transfer portal coming up.
I just posted an update in quotes from Marcus Harris, 4-star wide receiver out of Modern Day, as he's walking out of the facility. Go to InsideTexas.com and get the latest, guys. It really is some good stuff. I think he's going to be in this class. You need to see it.
I can't put it any better than that. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back to Wednesday next week when we're all not on the road doing a lot of different things for Inside Texas. Charlie, thank you. Justin, thank you. We'll see you next time on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel powered by InsideTexas.com.